right. Hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth again. I welcome you and thank you for listening in and honoring the Lord and studying His Word with us today. Today we're going to be going back into our study of questions often asked. And I believe it's study number 17. I didn't look at it, but I think it is. But we've been studying in the past. Our last question is, what about sexes and sexual love and sexual perversion? And we ended up last recording in sexual perversion. And we've been studying about whoredom and harlotry and prostitution that's listed there in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 17, and finding out what the Bible says about these things. We're not in a forum or a discussion about it. We're just studying what God's Word says about it, and then we form our opinions from that. Now, I told you on that last one when we were talking, I think it was the last one, I told you on that last one when we were talking about listing and defining the sins of sexual perversion and whether or not they were listed in the Scriptures. I went through there, through the Bible, and found that. I should have had it before if I was a professional speaker and teacher, but I got them for you anyway. In the Bible, the word, the sin of adultery is listed as adultery, and the sin is found in the Bible. Prostitution is listed in the Scriptures, and the sin is listed, is found in the Scriptures. Incest is not written as incest in the Scripture, but the sin of incest is found in the Scripture. Homosexuality is not listed in the Scriptures, but the sin is listed, found in the Scriptures. Lesbianism is not written in the Scriptures, but the sin is there. Sodomites or sodomy. Sodomy is not listed in the Scriptures, but the way that the Scriptures speak of a sodomy is Sodomites and Sodom, the place of Sodom. Sodomites is listed in the Old Testament four times, and Sodom is listed both in the Old Testament and New Testament 53 times. The Lord spoke quite a bit about Sodom in the New Testament. It is written in the New, in the Old and New Testament, and the sin is found in the Scriptures. Bestiality. The word is not written in the Scriptures. The word beast is used in the Scriptures according, found along with the sin. But the word bestiality is not in the Scriptures, but the sin is found in the Scriptures. Fornication. Fornication is found in the Scriptures 35 times, both in the Old and the New Testament. It is found written there, and the sin of fornication is also found in the Scriptures. Fornicator is found five times, and it is listed in the New Testament only. It is written in the New Testament, and the sin is found in the Scriptures. So there you are. We pretty well was on target with that. But just want to be sure, don't want to speak the Lord's Word in any kind of corrupt way or wrong way. Absolutely not. And let's get moving. So whoredom, harlotry, and prostitution, we began that study and we found out some characteristics of it and what the Bible talks about as far as characteristics, that it is shameless, or that the sin, or whores and prostitutes in the Scriptures are found to be shameless. They don't have any shame. They're not ashamed of what they do or the sin that they commit. They are painted, the Bible says, that they are enticing, and that they roam the streets, and isn't it funny how that stuff goes on just exactly like the Lord says, even today? They are expensive. And then we talked about concerning prostitution and harlots and whores and what the Bible has to say about it. We talked about some evils of it. that it profanes God's name, that it is connected with idolatry, that it brings spiritual error, and also that it causes divorce. It causes divorce. Okay, and that's where we stop, so we'll pick up right there, and we're going to remain on talking about find out a few more things concerning whores and prostitutes and harlots and what the Bible has to say about them. The next thing we're going to talk about is some prohibitions concerning it. First thing is that it's forbidden in Israel. The Bible says very plainly that that whores and harlots are not to be in Israel. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 29, the Bible says, "Do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness." You see, that's one of the sins that doesn't just remain right there at the root of the sin. It prostitutes your daughter and it causes her to be a whore. It also extends itself throughout the land, and the land falls to whoredom. In other words, spreads like a disease. So it's forbidden in Israel according to the scriptures. And another thing that we find that's prohibited concerning whores and prostitutes is that the priests are ordered not to marry them. They are not to marry any whores or prostitutes or harlots. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 21 and verse 7, "They shall not take a wife that is a whore or profane, neither shall they take a woman put away from her husband, for he is holy unto God. Neither shall he go out of the sanctuary, nor profane the sanctuary of his God, for the crown of the anointing oil of his God is upon him. I am the Lord." And then it says, "A widow, and he shall not take a wife in her virginity." And it says, "A widow or a divorced woman or profane or a harlot, these shall he not take, but he shall take a virgin of his own people to wife." Now that was God's rules for the priests, that they were holy unto the Lord, and the Lord said that they were close enough to him and his holiness that he did not want whores or prostitutes or harlots to marry any of the priests, or the priests to marry any of them. That was a prohibition in the scriptures, forbidden. The next thing we find in the scriptures is it is shameful, and it brings shame. Harlotry and whoredom and prostitution, according to the scriptures, brought shame. And it, not only in the scriptures before, but in society today, it produces and brings shame. And Proverbs, in chapter 3 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord," in chapter 3 and verse 35 is what I meant to say. It says, "The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools." Shame shall be the promotion of fools. The Bible says that harlotry and whoredom is shameful. Also in the book of Hosea, chapter 2 and verse 5, the Bible says, "For their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink." So the Bible declares that a prohibition is not only forbidden in Israel, the priests are not to marry them, and it is shameful to bring, or that it is shameful and it brings shame. Also in the scriptures, the Bible says a prohibition is that it brings punishment. It brings punishment. You know, there's a lot of things that go on and a lot of sins that are open and nobody is ashamed of them anymore, and they do them in the open, and I mean, right in front of the law, right in front of it's just open. Sin is open. But the Bible says that nobody's getting away with it. The problem is right now is that sin is not getting its punishment right away. It's been put off, if you will. But if people were to get punished immediately for their sins, sin would not be they wouldn't walk around with the snoots in the air and be as proud of it, and there wouldn't be as much sin because punishment against an evil work is not exercised speedily, therefore it is in the hearts of men to keep on sinning and just keep on sinning. And it's because they ain't getting a whooping for it, and they ain't getting punished. There was a fellow over American over in Germany when I was over there, and it was in the papers. And I know it wasn't in Germany. It was in one of the Asian countries. But he was over there, and he was in the military, and he was graffitiing cars with paint. And he was going around painting cars, and they caught him. And he was under that country's law. He was arrested and tried under that country's law. And according to that country, he was going to receive his punishment immediately. He went to court. He was found guilty. He was pronounced guilty, and then he was sentenced. And his sentence was that he was to be taken out and strapped to a pole, and that they took a cane pole and they give him 5 strikes across his back. And man, you talk about going in the media and going crazy, and America saying you're not going to whip any of our people and blah blah blah, but there wasn't nothing they could do. And they took him out, and he went out, and they strapped him up and gave him 5 strikes across his back with that cane pole right after they sentenced him. I mean, they found him guilty, took him right out there, and gave him 5 strikes across that back. Well, they interviewed him later on, and they asked him a question and said, would you ever consider painting a car again? And man, that man's face turned all shades of color. I mean, just the sight of his countenance when they asked him that question, and what had been drilled into him with that immediate punishment that he got. You know, Americans are so proud that they think whipping their children is a sin now, that it's out of place, and it's, you're a cruel blobbity blobbity blob, and even though the Bible orders you to do it, and says that you don't love them if you don't do it. But anyway, tried to stop it and all, but couldn't stop it. But that fella, he said when he got his punishment, and that was just 5 strikes across the back with a cane pole, he said that changed his whole outlook on everything. But it was over with. It was done. He had been sentenced and tried, found guilty, and the punishment was administered, and it was done, over with, no more money spent, go your way. You see. So, anyway, having to do with that, whoredom and harlotry and prostitution brings punishment. In Leviticus chapter 21, let's see here, Leviticus chapter 21, verse 9, and the daughter of any priest, if she profane herself by playing the whore, she profaneth her father. She shall be burnt with fire. Talk about a punishment. Set you on fire and burn you to death for being a whore, for playing the whore and embarrassing your father, profaning your father. Because women ain't supposed to be whores. They're not supposed to prostitute themselves. God says that you're not supposed to do that. And you shouldn't do it. And God don't just say things just to say them. He says them because he's God and he's holy. But when he lays down the rules, he lays them down to keep you safe. Because he knows sin more than you know sin. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You think you understand sin? You don't understand nothing about sin. Sin is deceitful. Sin will deceive you. It'll take your life away from you. It'll make you do things that you just have to stand back and your jaw drop to the floor, wondering, what am I doing? But it brings punishment. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 29 says, "Do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness." We read that, or one like that, just a while ago. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 29 says, "Don't prostitute your daughter." Today, there's anything and everything called a prostitute. It's not just women. The scriptures use the female sex, the division of the female. Use her, and the Lord speaks of the female and the wife and the mother as whores. But today, and I don't find it listed in the scriptures as far as men being prostitutes, but they're all over the place. Boys are prostitutes. Little girls are prostitutes and whores, and even men prostitute themselves. And it's ungodly, and it's wicked, and you ought not do it. But it brings punishment. Even in the New Testament, the Bible talks about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15 and 18, the Bible says, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. Flee fornication." Paul said, run from it, man. Flee fornication. And notice in that scripture right there, it's talking about whoredom and harlotry he's talking about, but he also uses the word fornication along with that, like I mentioned to you about fornication before. "Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." The Bible says it brings punishment. You think you're going to get away with it, and you mess around with whores, and you mess around with prostitutes, and you mess around with that kind of crowd, and you even become part of it. You prostitute yourself, or you do things like that. The Bible says you're going to receive the punishment in your body. It says every sin that a man doeth is without the body. Lying, cheating, stealing, whatever you want to call it. But he that committeth fornication, a sexual division between the male and the female, a sexual, a sexed act of prostitution or anything having to do with perversion, will punish you with the sinneth against his own body. In other words, your body's going to get it because of what you're doing. And we see that today. And no, you ain't got to walk very far, go very far. I don't know where you live and what your city is made up of, but you could just about go into any city now, and it wouldn't take you very long to find whores and harlots and prostitutes. But some are prominent, more prominent places, like the scriptures talk about Sodom and Gomorrah and Zeboam and Adma. And these places that were known for that stuff, for perversion, sexual perversion, the division, the divided male and female. So we find out that there were some prohibitions concerning harlotry and whoredom and prostitution. Now we'll see some Bible examples and just look at a few of them. And where they're found in the scriptures. First one that we find was Tamar. Remember her? She was promised to a man's son, but he had to grow up and become of age first. And she waited, and he never gave her to his son. So she went and disguised herself as a prostitute, and he came through town. And he decided he was going to go have him a prostitute, and he found her. And he went in, and she became pregnant with child from him. And when he found out that Tamar was pregnant, he ordered her death. But she sent him a letter and told her, and when he went in to commit perversion with her and to have her as a harlot, he gave her his signet and a ring and a staff, I believe it was those three. I might have been mistaken, but it was three different things of his that he gave her as collateral that he was going to send her a payment of, I think it was a lamb or something like that. I'm not sure. I'm probably wrong about that, but it was an animal that he was going to send to her in payment for her services. Okay. And he sent the animal to her, and the fella couldn't find her. He said, there ain't no harlot there, and he asked people in town if there's a harlot there, and they said, we ain't got no harlots here. So she had his signet, and she had his ring and his staff, and when he sentenced her to death, she sent those three things to him with a letter saying, the man's child that's in my womb owns these things. And he found out that he was caught. So Tamar, she played the harlot. Rahab, you remember her in the book of Joshua, chapter 2. She was a harlot in town, and the Jews were coming. The Israel was coming, going to take over Jericho. And I believe it was Jericho, yeah. And she stood up for and hid the Jews that were spying, and she kept her life and her family's life because of it. But she was a harlot. Jephthah's mother, remember her in Judges chapter 11 verse 1, and also Samson. The Bible tells us right there in Judges chapter 16 and verse 1 that he went down to Gaza, I believe it was, and got him a harlot and stayed with her most of the night. And then they surrounded the house and was going to get him. They hated him, and they wanted to get Samson and kill him. And they surrounded the house, but he got up and took their gate off and ran off right when midnight. But he got him a harlot there in Gaza. Okay, Hosea's wife, the Lord ordered him for the purpose of prophecy to go marry a harlot and to take her to wife. Okay, and he did in Hosea chapter 1, verse 2. And then, of course, in the book of Revelation, the Lord uses as the, I mean, out of all the things that he could have picked for perversion in the end times before the Lord Jesus Christ's second coming, he picked the great whore. The great whore that prostitutes herself with all the nations of the earth and has to do with being along with the end times and with the tribulation and with the beast and with the false prophet. And during the tribulation. So the Lord picked the great whore to talk about in Revelation chapter 17, verses 1 through 18. So we see there's a lot of examples of prostitution and harlotry and whoredom in the scriptures. But nevertheless, perversion. And nothing ever come any good about it, with exception of the which was the Lord and Hosea, when Hosea married. But there wasn't anything good about that either. The Lord was showing Israel some things that was pretty bad. So the last thing we're going to look at concerning this portion of perversion that we're studying is figurative things that the Bible uses and symbolic things that the Bible uses, harlotry and whoredom, and as symbolism. One of them's found in Isaiah chapter 15 and verses, or chapter 23, verse 15, 17. And that was Tyre. That's Tyre. And if you remember, the Lord used that, and he was talking about a king there. But he also, in double prophecy, and that's in those scriptures, also in Ezekiel, is talking about Satan. talking about the devil and going through talking about that symbolically. All right. Also in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 21, Israel is also used as figurative. And the Lord used Israel a lot of times to talk about whoredom and harlotry and prostitution, but particularly Isaiah there in chapter 1. And then in Isaiah also in chapter 57, we see that the Lord used adultery or used whoredom and prostitution and harlotry as spiritual adultery in Isaiah chapter 57. And then, of course, we talked about with the last some examples also the great whore in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 1 through 18. All right, so that'll be enough of that. And so far in this matter of the trash can part of this study of adultery and breaking it down and seeing what the Bible has to say about it, we've talked about adultery. And we've also talked about prostitution and harlotry and whoredom and what the Bible says. Now, we're going to begin now, and we're going to talk about the matter of incest. The matter of incest. Incest, the word itself is not found in the Scriptures, like I said a while ago, but the sin of incest is. And it is talked about in the law in Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 6. Beginning there, the Bible says, "None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. The nakedness of thy sister and the daughter of thy father, or daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. The nakedness of thy son's daughter, or of thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife, nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister, she is thy father's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thine aunt." Very clear. Nothing confusing about that Bible scripture, is there? The Lord said it pretty plain. He said, don't mess with your kin. You're not to have any kind of relations. It's prohibited. It's called incest. It's sin and it's perversion. I know that we still have laws here in the United States that there's so many. The Lord, I think it's down to three generations or something like that before. But before Abraham and around with Noah and all that, it's a different story because there wasn't all the filth in the world and the perversion and the sin hadn't gotten that bad yet. But the things change through the Scriptures, and that's why the Bible says to rightly divide the word of truth and understand what the Lord's talking about and what dispensation the Lord's talking about whenever we're talking about these perversions. The Lord is holy, and His holiness never changed down through history from the beginning and will never change through everlasting and eternity. But because of man and the way that man changes, and because of sin and how evil and how it only gets worse and worse and worse and worse, then the Lord made provisions for that. Okay? But he never compromised his holiness or his dignity or integrity or his righteousness because of it. Incest listed there in chapter 18. First thing that we're going to talk about concerning incest and what the scripture says is that the relationships that are prohibited in the scriptures. And we just got through reading in Leviticus chapter 18 that you're not supposed to have anybody that's near to you, your sisters or your brothers or your mother or your father's wife or your sisters or your cousins or your aunts or your daughters. Very close to kin, even your father's brother's family. And your aunts and your uncles, you're not to be related to them concerning any kind of male and female behavior. All right? Another one is the first one is the relations that are prohibited in the scripture. So the same family, you're not to have any kind of relations as far as male and female with the same family. Also, your grandchildren. You are not to have any kind of relations with your grandchildren when it comes to male and female and the divided, the sexed. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 10, the nakedness of thy son's daughter or of thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness shalt thou not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness. It's your family. It's your family. You're not to have any kind. The scriptures prohibit same family, male and female relation, and grandchildren, to the grandchildren. It also prohibits aunts and uncles, the Bible said there in chapter 18 and verse 12. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister. She is thy father's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. We're not to have any kind of relations according to the scriptures that are prohibited for the in-laws, for your in-laws. They're not blood related, but they are married into your family. Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 15 and 15 and 16 we read, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. Very plain, straight as an arrow. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Notice the Lord uses that word nakedness quite a bit when it comes to relations. And notice how he uses that word in every description of every perversion that he prohibits. No family involvement when it comes to nakedness. No grandchildren are to be involved when it comes to nakedness. No aunts and uncles. No in-laws, the Bible says. And then also in Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 17 and 18, we read that you're near kin. You're near kin. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinswoman. It is wickedness. That's what the Lord says, and we know He's right. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her, to uncover her nakedness, beside the other in her lifetime. What's the length of the time that you're not to, that you're prohibited? He said that pretty plain too. Beside the other in her lifetime. You are never, ever to have male and female relations as far as nakedness, with the same family, grandchildren, aunts and uncles, in-laws, near kin, and so on and so forth. That's what the Bible says. Now, there's a lot of countries that change the rules and do this and do that, but that doesn't change the scriptures. God says this is the way it should be, and the Lord has His reasons for it being that way now, and that's the way it should be. That's when the law came in, and the Lord gave the law to Moses, and that's what He told Moses to say concerning this. And as far as we're under grace, but that does not mean anything's changed when it comes to marriage. The Lord Jesus Christ said that marriage is honorable in all, and a bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So the Lord even confirmed the law. He said the law is good. Okay, but we are not to have anything to do with near kin as far as male and female and nakedness that the Bible talks about for life. Now let's talk about some other things having to do with incest. What does the Bible say about the punishment for it? The punishment for it. Well, in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 11 through 14, the Bible says, "And the man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall be put to death. They have wrought confusion. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man also lie with mankind, man with man, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They wasn't born that way. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And if a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burnt with fire, both he and they. And there, that there be no wickedness among you." What's the punishment in the scriptures for this kind of stuff? Death. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. And in some countries, they still do that. But in good old America, you probably don't even have to go to court for it. What else? The punishment for this perversion that we're talking about, incest. Well, not only is it death, but it's also that you'll be childless. The Lord will make you childless. But before we move on to this part with about being childless, under that death part, there's one other. I want to read you a New Testament verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11. Now, this man was having his, this is New Testament, in the New Testament, in the body of Christ, in the church. And Paul is writing about this matter, about this man having his father's wife, which is, the penalty is death. We just read it, okay, in the Old Testament. But this is what happened under the New Testament and under grace. The Bible says in verse 5, it says, "But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many. So that contrariwise, ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things." Then the Bible says, "To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." You see, Jesus Christ changed everything. He didn't change. He didn't put away God's opinion about the perversion of incest and the perversion of all these other male and female perversions. He didn't, God has not changed his mind concerning that. But Jesus Christ and the grace of God and Jesus' sacrifice changed God's mind concerning the punishment. As far as what God is concerned, the punishment for incest is death. That's what the law says, and that's what the holiness of God requires. But because of his son, Jesus Christ, and somebody being born again and being in the family of God, they are not treated as a criminal in God's courtroom anymore. They're treated as a child of God. And this man was in the church, and he done this thing, and the church reprimanded him for it and put him out. And I guess he repented in 2 Corinthians. He repented and came and said that and said repented and asked God forgiveness for this. And Paul gave his advice here, what we just got through reading. Forgive him and bring him back into the fold. You see the difference in what Jesus Christ has done? And this is not just with that anybody get away with anything, because you're not going to get away with anything with the Lord. If you die unsaved, you're already sentenced to hell. It don't matter what you do. You can be as filthy as you want. You can do as many things and perversions as you want. Go ahead. But the sentence is the same. The only reason you're going to stand before the Lord as an unsaved person is to find out what the severity of your sentence is going to be. You're already sentenced. But for the saved, God's not going to let you get away with it. He's either going to whip you and chastise you and make you sorry for it and bring you to repentance, by the way the goodness of God brings a man to repentance, or he's either going to let you go and let you run around in the world and let the world and the devil beat you to pieces, and then you're going to die in your sin and your body's going to go back to the grave, but your soul's going to be saved because of Jesus Christ. Your choice. But God hasn't changed his mind about what his holiness thinks about these perversions. But Jesus Christ changed the penalty of them through forgiveness, you see. You're not automatically automatically forgiven. There has to be repentance, and these things have to be taken care of scripturally. But we're talking about what the Bible says, what God thinks about it, and what the law says about it. And we understand that Jesus Christ has changed everything, and there is forgiveness with the Lord. And the Lord stands ready to forgive. But for people that are hard-hearted and don't want to listen to the Lord and want to turn their nose up and turn their shoulder and their back to the Lord, watch out. Watch out. But according to incest, relationships that are prohibited are the family, the grandchildren, aunts and uncles, the in-laws, the near kin, and then also we read over in the New Testament that the things that were going on in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians about the man having his mother's wife. Okay, things haven't changed. Sin has not changed. The same thing. There's nothing new under the sun. Incest then, incest now. Okay? And it's going on today. You can believe that. But the punishment for it. The Bible says that death is a punishment for it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 5, the Bible says that forgiveness is available. For people that want it and people that have come to the Lord and ask for it. Otherwise, it'll be dealt with in other ways. Now, another punishment is that to be childless. In Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 20 and 21, the Bible says, "And if a man shall lie with his uncle's wife, he hath uncovered his uncle's nakedness. They shall bear their sin. They shall die childless. And if a man shall take his brother's wife in an unclean thing, he shall uncover his brother's nakedness. They shall be childless." So the Lord takes away a heritage, takes away children from you because of behavior like that with incest. There must be something that the Lord says. Now, I know man says that the closer the relationship, and I've heard that before, and probably you have too, but I didn't know that there was any scriptural truth to it, but the scriptures are bringing that out right now, that the Lord says you'll die childless because he'll not let you bring any children with that close of relations for some reason. What we're talking about is the punishment for it. And the Bible says one punishment is that you will not have any children. Another punishment for the sin of incest is that you will be cursed. The Bible says in Deuteronomy, in chapter 27, verse 20 through 23, "Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife, because he hath uncovered his father's skirt. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, and the daughter of his mother. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say, Amen." So we see the punishment of incest, that the Bible does speak of it. The word incest is not found in the scripture, but the sin of incest is written about plenty. And God's holiness has not changed concerning these matters. And we are to reverence the Lord and understand and know what the will of the Lord is. And know what right and wrong is and what we're to do and what we're not to do. And incest is forbidden. Now let's look at some Bible examples of incest. And some people that were in the past, written in the scriptures, that were involved in it. First of all, Lot. Lot was involved in incest with his two daughters, remember? When the Lord went and got him out of, the angels went and got him out of Sodom, and he escaped for his life, and his wife turned back like she was instructed not to, and she was turned into a pillar of salt, the Bible says. They went up into the mountain, or and went to Zoar, and then they ended up in the mountains because I believe he was scared over there what they were going to do to him. I'm not sure, but it doesn't say. But he went into the mountains, and his daughters went up there, and his daughters had male and female relations with their father. Incest. What about Reuben? Reuben committed incest with his father's concubine. In Genesis chapter 35 and verse 22, we see King David's son, Amnon, with his sister, remember? That's what Absalom got so mad about. Killed his brother. Because he had his sister, he tricked her. He played sick, and when she came in there, he raped her. King David's son, Absalom, with David's concubines, right out in front of all Israel, remember? Incest. You know, in the scriptures, in the Messianic line in Matthew chapter 1, where it's given the Messiah's lineage, where it come from, and such, was the son of such and such, and such and such was the son of such and such, and then it went from all the way in the beginning, all the way down to the Lord Jesus Christ, his messianic lineage. Well, did you know that because of incest having to do, the Lord removed three generations from that messianic line in Matthew chapter 1 in verse 8 because of the sin of incest introduced by Athaliah. She was a wicked woman that had to do with Ahab and was around all in that kind of time right there. And she was a wicked, wicked woman. And they eventually took her out and killed her and stomped her to death with horses. But because of the sin of incest was introduced by her, and between the two men, Joram and Ozias, there were three of them missing in that lineage and taken out of the Messianic lineage. God didn't even list them in there. He said he'll... the sins will pass on to the second and third generation. Ahaziah, Joash, and Amaziah were taken out because of incest. The Lord would not allow those three to be listed in the Messianic line because of the sin of incest that was introduced by Athaliah. So, we see incest, and we've talked about that today. We've talked about adultery. We've talked about whoredom and harlotry and prostitution. And we've also talked about this perversion of incest. Some trash can stuff, isn't it? And boy, aren't we good people? The Lord said, if ye being evil know how to give good gifts. The Bible says the Lord didn't commit himself to men because he knew what was in men. You know, one thing that we don't need to be walking around is and doing is showing ourselves to be something. We're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Because even though we're saved, we still have this wicked flesh on us. And the Bible says it's vile and it's filthy and it doesn't want anything but this kind of trash that we're talking about right here. That's what the Bible says. And it tells us in the New Testament and talks about these male and female division, the sexed, talks about the perversions in the New Testament also. And it says, give no place to the devil. It says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Remember Daniel? And when he was being manipulated by the king's daughter or the king's wife, and she was trying to get him to commit adultery with her, and he ran. He had to run from it. And we read a while ago, the Bible says, flee fornication. That's how bad that flesh will hold you right there. It'll hold you right there. The Bible says, run from it, man. And in the book of Proverbs, it talks about running and escaping from women and escaping from perversions and things like that. Because they're so powerful. They're so powerful. Now, if any of these things that we've talked about today, brothers and sisters, that you've been involved in or something that you, the Holy Ghost has spoken to you about, praise the Lord for the Lord Jesus Christ and for forgiveness. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you are born again and there's something you need to clear up with the Lord, clear it up with Him. Go to the Lord, tell Him what you did. Nobody else, just you and Him. Tell Him what you did, tell Him how you did it, why you did it, and why you're wrong. And confess it to Him, and ask Him to clean it, and wash it in the blood of Jesus, and get rid of it. And He'll wash that thing, you'll never have to remember it anymore, and He'll take the guilt away. And you can carry on. That's what's wonderful about the Lord's grace. If we was under the law, we'd definitely have to be on the run, wouldn't we? Every one of us are guilty of something when it comes to perversion and when it comes to this kind of stuff. All these people running around sticking their nose up and, ooh, how filthy and ooh, how this. Well, if we had a picture on the wall about your little private life, buddy. The the Lord said, we're children of light. Let us walk as children of light. Amen? All right. Well, we talked about incest today, and we're going to get through all this trash. And we only got probably one or two more recordings having to do with this, and we'll get down through them. But we're going to find out. We found out quite a bit, hadn't we? And what the Lord thinks about it. But praise the Lord for grace, and praise the Lord for the Lord Jesus Christ and His shed blood that cleanses us from all sin. All sin. And we can come to the Lord and come boldly to His throne and ask Him for forgiveness for these things and not be part of it ever again. Next thing we're going to talk about when we get into this next recording, we'll begin with sodomy, the perversion of sodomy among the sexed, the male and female. So until then, I wish you prosperity. I wish you that the Lord would reveal His Word to you and make His Word fresh to you, and that you would just absorb God's Word like never before. We have a wonderful God, and we have nothing to be ashamed of with our Lord. He's not ashamed of us. Let's not be ashamed of Him. This is Brother Thurman. Talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.